Well, glad to see everyone tonight. Thank you for coming, and trust you'll come back again in the Lord's will this week and next week also. Now, I want to read with you in the book of Exodus and chapter 3, the book of Exodus and chapter 3, reading at verse 1, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Now, a verse or two in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 48. Luke 23 and verse 48. And all the people that came together to that sight, that was the sight of the Lord Jesus on the cross, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the woman that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now that's all we want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. We have read from the Old Testament one of those great and exciting stories that are brought before us in the life of Moses. And we have read about a great sight. And that's what I just want you to think about this evening. That Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. But we have read about an even greater sight in the New Testament, where the Lord Jesus was on the cross. And the Bible says that all the people that came together to that sight, or that spectacle, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. I want you to think this evening of that great sight. Now Moses is one of those great and amazing characters in our Old Testament. When Moses was born, at that time down in Egypt where the Hebrews were slaves, all the male children were being destroyed. In fact, they threw them into the Nile River. But when Moses was born, his mother looked at him, and the Bible says that he was a goodly child. And if you know the story, you remember how that she hid him for 3 months in the house. But after 3 months, she could hide him no longer, so she made that ark of bulrushes and put the baby Moses in that ark. And there he was put along the sides of the River Nile by the flags of the river, and his sister was there to look on and to look over him. And then from the palace there came Pharaoh's daughter with her maidens down to the River Nile to bathe. And of course they saw the ark of bulrushes. And when the ark was brought And when they opened the lid of the ark, there was baby Moses. And you know, he did something that really was very timely. He wept. He cried. Now, I know sometimes babies cry, maybe at the wrong times, maybe in the middle of the night or whatever. But there's one thing about Moses. I know he was only 3 months old, but he cried at the right time. In fact, it was the greatest cry that ever was in our Bible. Because that babe that wept, that cried that day, it did something. It was the cry that changed history. It was a cry that altered destiny. But it did something more. It drew sympathy from Pharaoh's daughter. And that little babe that wept, that cried at that crucial moment, my, she decided that she would have him and that he would one day be in the palace. And so Moses' sister, she was very quick and very sharp, and she realized that she could get a nurse to look after the baby Moses, and that nurse would be her mother, Moses' mother. And so Moses was brought up for that first number of years of his young life by his mother. And more than that, she was paid wages to do it. You know, the late Jack Hunter said that Moses' mother was the first woman to get family allowance. Now, whether how true that is or not, but she got wages for looking after Moses. And then in time, he was brought to the palace, and there he was educated in all the finery and all the brilliance of that great palace. Egypt was the place then in the world as regards an empire, as regards its power and its greatness. And Moses was in line for the very throne of Egypt. But I'm not going into all the details when he had to flee from that land when 40 years of age. And now for the next 40 years, that's where we meet him in Exodus chapter 3, at the end of that second 40-year period in his life. You know, someone has said about Moses that the first 40 years of his life, he thought he was something. Well, he really had it made, you know. As it were, the ball was at his toe. The riches, the treasures, the pleasures of Egypt were all in his grasp. The first 40 years, he thought he was something. The next 40 years, he discovered he was nothing. And the last 40 years of his life, he found out that God was everything. Moses, in the backside of the desert where we find him in Exodus chapter 3, looking after those sheep for Jethro, his father-in-law, and there that day in the life of Moses, now 80 years of age, something happened that day. There was a bush that was burning. A bush that was burning. On the mountainside. But you know, there was something different about this. And I want you to think of this tonight. There's three very simple things that I want to try and emphasize. There was, first of all, a different sight. That bush that burned and was not consumed. And then there was a definite experience. He turned aside to see. And then there was a demanding voice, where the voice came out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," where God spoke to him. It was a different sight. Now you would know in that hot, arid climate of that land that it would have been a common thing for a bush to be burning in the climate that it was. And so as regards a bush that was burning, it was something that at times could be fairly ordinary, but here was a bush that was burning from the bottom to the top. From it left the ground, the trunk was on fire, the branches were on fire, the twigs were on fire, the leaves were on fire. It was all burning from the bottom to the top, the whole thing. But it kept on burning. It didn't disappear. It didn't disintegrate. It didn't go to ashes. Normally a bush on fire, it would just be gone like that. But here's a bush that kept on burning. It's a different sight. I want you to come to the sight outside Jerusalem. The sight that those people came that day, the Bible says how that they came to that sight. And all the people that came to that sight, beholding the things that were done, what a sight this is. This is a different sight. How would you say, sure, crucifixion was common? The Romans crucified thousands of people. The Romans, they crucified aliens and criminals and slaves, not their own people, but crucifixion was a very common thing. What's different about this? What's different about the bush in Exodus chapter 3? It burned and was not consumed. That was a different sight. When we come to the sight of the Lord Jesus on the cross, here is a different sight. Because you know tonight, the thing that we all need to remember and realize is this, that when the Lord Jesus was crucified, and make no mistake about it, he was crucified. And the Bible says when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. He was actually lifted on a cross, literally nailed alive to that cross by hands and feet. He was crucified. But many had been crucified. And many more would be crucified. They tell us, you know, in AD 70, some 40 years or so later, when the Romans came and surrounded Jerusalem under Titus and they took the city, that they crucified so many people that they ran out of wood. But wait. This is not just a crucifixion. This is a sacrifice. And that's different. That the Lord Jesus, when nailed to that cross, he became a sacrifice for sin. A sacrifice for sin. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice
for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. A sacrifice for sin. A sacrifice for God. He offered himself without spot to God. A sacrifice forever. One sacrifice for sins forever. Ah, that's different. He was nailed to a cross. He was crowned with thorns. And he hung on that cross for 6 hours. 3 hours of light and 3 hours of darkness. And tonight in this gathering, the great reality is this, that he was on that cross because of my sin. He was there for me. He died for me. He took my place. He became the bearer of sin. My friend, tonight in this meeting, you know, you can be in heaven forever because a Savior has borne the judgment of sin that you might be forgiven and free and fitted for heaven and to dwell with God and Christ forever in those regions above, around that rainbow circle throne, to sing the song of the Lamb and of the redeemed. I'll tell you, that's something. And it's because on that cross, alone, despised, forsaken, where no pitying I was found, he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. What a sight. Do you know, for some people, it was a mocking sight. In fact, the Bible says that there were those that passed by and they wagged their heads. For some, it was a mocking sight. For some, it was a moving sight. As we have read in Luke 23, that they smote upon their breasts, all and all his acquaintance, and the woman that followed him from Galilee. My, stood afar off, beholding these things. I'll tell you, it was a moving sight. Do you know, there was a man called Peter. And I know John was at the cross. And those four women that were at the cross. But I tend to feel that Peter came that day as well. He speaks about being a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Did Peter come through the crowd and see him on the cross? He never forgot it. It was a memorable sight. I will now turn aside, Moses said, and see this great sight. A different sight. Nothing has ever happened in this world like what happened that day at the cross. There's just never been anything ever before or since that on that cross was the Creator who was nailed there by the creature that he had made. But on that cross, he became the bearer of sin. And he braved the storm of judgment to bridge the mighty gulf to bring us to God. My, tonight in this meeting, you can be saved and your sins can be forgiven and you can be sure of heaven because of what Christ has done in sacrifice at Calvary. But come again to Moses for a minute. Can you see him standing there with those sheep beside him? And He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. You know, that sight to Moses, it was a compelling sight. It entranced him. He just had to. He was drawn. And the Bible says that the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. It was a definite experience. Let me say this tonight. Conversion is a definite experience. You don't get saved in your sleep. It's a conscious choice that an individual makes when they personally, knowingly, and willingly receive Christ as their Savior. It was a definite experience. He turned aside to see. I want to ask you tonight, has there ever been that turning place in your life? That turning point. You know, the Bible makes it clear that all of us, by nature and because of sin, we're all going in the wrong direction. We're all heading to the wrong destiny. We're all on the broad road that leadeth to destruction. And it is a very simple tonight to realize that if I'm going in the wrong direction, I need to turn. And that's what conversion is. Paul wrote to those who had turned, and he reminds them, he says, ye turn to God from idols, to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for a son from heaven. My friend tonight, in this meeting, have you ever turned to Christ? You see, because of sin, we're all going the wrong road. But you can turn tonight. You know, there's a little hymn that says, turn and believe this very hour, and trust in the Savior's grace and power. A definite experience. John Newton, I'm sure most of us know a little bit about John Newton, who wrote that hymn that was made famous a number of years ago. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He wrote many hymns, of course. But John Newton, when a boy of 7, his mother died. His mother was a believer, and she used to take him to some of those dissenting churches where they would have sung Isaac Watts' great hymns about the cross. But she died when John Newton was just 7. His father, an unbeliever and an uncouth sort of a man, remarried, and the lady that he married the second time, sadly, John Newton had a very difficult life. She didn't care for him. She didn't desire him. At 12 years of age, his father took him to sea. And from there on in, he plumbed the depths of sin. Came an infidel. Was involved in the slave trade from West Africa to the West Indies. And his life was a terrible, horrible, immoral life. They were crossing the Atlantic from America back to England on a vessel that was called the Greyhound. And the captain of the ship had given John Newton a book that was entitled Fellowship with God and the Great Day of Judgment. And one night, John Newton, as he sat in his bunk, he read some of the pages of this book, and then he thought to himself, not for me, and he closed it and he threw it down and he rolled into his bunk and he went to sleep. And a few hours later, he was wakened by a terrible storm. And out on deck he had to go. And all those men were seeking to rescue that vessel that was destined for destruction. And John Newton said, as he stood amidst that howling storm, he said, "I felt myself on the very edge of hell." He said, "My whole life's sin came before me." And then he said this, "I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. A second look he gave which said, 'I freely all forgive. My blood is for thy ransom shed. I died that thou mayst live.'" Do you know what John Newton did that night? He turned aside to see this great sight. In the storm, feeling on the edge of hell, he turned to Christ. It was a definite experience. His life there on in was changed. What about you tonight? Will you turn aside to see this great sight? Maybe there's something keeping you back tonight. Something in your life. Maybe some friend, whatever. Some sin, some practice, whatever. My, are you willing to turn aside? Are you willing to let everything go? Because, you know, repentance is a real thing. The Bible says, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Willing to say, let the world go. Let sin go. Let the devil go. I'm going to trust Christ. You know, the Bible is full of decision. The Bible is full of choice. I say this tonight. You'll not be in heaven by chance. You'll be in heaven by choice. You've got to make a choice. Moses stood that day on the dusty sand with the bush that burned, and he turned aside. It filled him. It enthralled him. It moved him. It compelled him. I'll tell you this tonight. When a person realizes that on that cross he died for me, I'll tell you, that will enthrall you. That will compel you. That I'm the sinner that Christ died for. What about you tonight? Will you turn aside? I come to the demanding voice. The Bible says that the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, and God called to Moses out of the bush, and he said, "Moses, Moses," and Moses said, "Here am I." And the Lord said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." I'll tell you, that was something, wasn't it? You know, there was a day hundreds and hundreds of years before this that God spoke to another man. God spoke to him out of a boat one day. That Noah, that the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And the Lord was in the boat and he spoke out of the boat. And now he speaks out of a bush. There's one thing you can never do. You can never tie God's hands. And you know something? Later on, there was another man one day who was riding on an ass. And they were in a narrow place. And he smote the ass. And would you believe it? The ass spoke to him. And not only that, the ass spoke with a man's voice. God can speak out of a beast. And God speaks to Moses out of the bush. Put off thy shoes. Just think of this before I close. Can you see Moses as he throws those sandals aside and he stands there in the awesome, august presence of God? You know, he's on his bare feet. And he's standing on the bare earth, and there's nothing between him at all on the earth. And he puts off the shoes. It's a real picture, just an illustration to put off. He realizes his nothingness, his smallness. Before God, listen tonight, just take your place on the bare earth, nothing between. I'm just a sinner before God. Put off. How about wait? You come to the New Testament, and there was a man came home one day from the far country. We know him as the prodigal son, and the father was waiting and looking for him. And he said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring in his hand, he says, and put shoes on his feet. There's shoes to put on. God said to Moses, put off thy shoes. Ah, but you know, when you put off, God has something for you to put on. The shoes of redemption. My, I've got a new standing. The old is gone. The old life, it's all gone. I'm standing now upon redemption ground. Put shoes on his feet. Put off and put on. An acknowledgement, I'm a guilty sinner. I want to turn from it all. And God has got shoes for me. Redemption. A new standing. Forgiven. Accepted. Because of the cross. That Savior that we have preached, and that sight that we have thought about, Thank God this evening. He died, he rose, he lives. He's in heaven. He's speaking to your soul tonight. He's got something good for you. Something big. Something better. Something blessed. But you've got to put it on. Will you take it tonight? Will you turn tonight? Will you taste and see that the Lord is good? Shall we pray? Lord, we just give thee thanks for our coming together tonight and pray to speak into every heart and soul.